Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 9th of April, and I'm recording at 11:06 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, apologies for that. That's later than usual, but I was out at a concert this evening. But I've caught up, and it was another interesting day in here. Now, let's run through some of the highlights with you. First, Japan. As I mentioned in last night's audio, that the yen was a little bit too strong, and that was likely to weigh on the Japanese stock market, and it certainly did. It was down 2.1% today. That takes the Nikkei 225 back to 14,299, so less than 300 points. So another decline like today would take it below, if it happens, would take it below that 14,000 level, which is a previous support area. And you've got several lows near the 14,000 level dating back for several months. And that may would raise a few eyebrows. So I think possibly the Bank of Japan and Shinzo Abe would quite possibly like to prevent that from happening, as it could potentially start to damage sentiment, which isn't all that robust in Japan anyway. Now, they may have a little bit of a challenge. I think after Wall Street's gains today, which I'll come to in a minute, that would augur well for Japan. But the yen is still only at 102 as I speak, trading here in after hours. So again, Japan an underperformer, and will probably remain so with the concern and uncertainty over that consumption tax and the impact that it's going to have on the Japanese economy. And there are other horses to back. If there is a major uncertainty, then people back off. So what are they backing? Well, Hong Kong was strong, up nearly 1.1%. And Australia had a good day as well, up 1%. The mainland China indices were a little higher. That's impressive given the big gains that they saw yesterday. So Shanghai Composite up a third of a percent. And indeed, all the rest of the Asian stock markets were higher here today. But the star performer was India, up 1.61% on the BSP Sensex index. Now that had eased for 4 days, was I think 3 days over the previous 3 days. It had eased down a little bit from a short-term overbought condition. And bang, this 1.6% gain has taken it up to a new all-time high. And the election process, and it's a long one in India with over 800 million voters, registered voters, is a lengthy period. But that's a star market, very much in form, and as is Vietnam, again, very much in form. It's had big gains earlier this year, currently in a consolidation phase, and likely to remain impressive this year once this consolidation is completed, in my opinion. But India is the current front runner there. And China, well, it's done enough to create a flicker of encouragement in here, but we'll see. It's still pretty much of a enigmatic situation there in terms of the economy, and maybe more of the news that's been drifting out is not so encouraging. But it's certainly cheap, you know, in terms of PE ratios, an average of just a fraction above 10. Current PE ratios and decent yields, and that's true of the Hang Seng index as well. Okay, and the rest of the European stock markets, we had modest gains pretty much across the boards. An exception was Switzerland, but it was only down 14 one-hundredths of a percent, and It's their tiny down move. Everything else was up fractionally higher. The big action here, remaining big action, not quite as big as India's, but impressive move on Wall Street. Now, Wall Street had fallen sharply starting in Friday. We had those big downside key day reversals for the S&P, I believe, and also the Dow. And markets were hit hard on Monday, but got a modest bounce yesterday and a good bounce in here today. Run through it from the starting with the Dow up 1.1%. That's 181 points. And that has regained about not quite two-thirds of the decline that it had seen from Friday's all-time high. The S&P similarly up 1.09%. That's 20 points, and that takes the S&P 500 up to 1872, and that's regained close to two-thirds of the decline from last Friday's all-time high. And the Nasdaq had the biggest gain, 1.72%, taking that composite index up to 4,183, nearly 84. But that's only gained at most a third of the declines that it has seen from the high, which had occurred somewhat earlier, not last Friday. It occurred last month, I believe. So interesting here, and the reason was that apparently the news item is that the Fed came out with some reassuring comments regarding interest rates, because I think the Fed felt that Janet Yellen had created the impression that rates might go up 6 months after the tapering ends in what is it, 3 or 4 months' time, and that was kind of a off-the-cuff remark, and they are clearly wanting to reassure the investors and also economic bosses that by no means that it's by no means certain that rates will go up anytime quickly. So the stock market on Wall Street remains wedded to its low interest rate fix, and a very powerful drug that actually is. So we may range here a little further, although something I said last Friday in that audio, I said that we would need to see closes in new all-time high ground to offset at least, or at least significantly question the bearish implications of the signals that we did see last Friday, and of course also Monday's decline for the Nasdaq. So interesting stuff. I would be cautious on Wall Street overall, but for those who have Wall Street investments, I think you've probably already done some judicious shifting from things that were very expensive by any measure into the many companies that have quite reasonable valuations, preferably lower than the Nasdaq's valuations, and there are a fair number of them. Some of the old tech companies, but they're just there are a great many companies. And Owen's been listing a number of them here this week. Okay, so just to sum up on that, I think the better prospects are in other markets, starting with India and Vietnam. But with India, it all depends on how many seats Modi's government actually gets. But investors are clearly encouraged by the prospects at this stage, at least. Hopefully, it's not a one of those things where it's all discounted beforehand. I don't think it will be. It's a bullish overall pattern as well. Now, government bonds, I can be quick in that because virtually nothing happened in here today. Yields steadied a fraction. And what we also saw, though, following the Fed's comments, is that that weakened the US dollar. Now, the dollar index, that's against European currencies, that's down to 79.52, where it's trading at this very moment. And 79 is an important floor area for that US dollar index. And previously, when it gets down to this level and it's touched 79 on a couple of occasions over the last many months, previously, when it's done that, it has then turned around and gotten a good strong upward dynamic. And as I mentioned yesterday, it needs to do that again to just signal that the trading band, the broad trading band, is actually going to be maintained. But I don't take anything for granted, particularly since there are a number of lower rally highs that you can see on that chart. And the Fed, I think, would certainly doesn't want the dollar to go up very much, but I think it would be a little bit reckless for it to want it to go down very much. Now, what we saw here in the euro, that's up to 1.3855. That might worry Super Mario Draghi here, because that's a little bit strong. But it's more a case of dollar weakness, and the euro, beg your pardon, that was the euro, sterling. When I can find it here, sterling is up at 1.6792, and the Aussie is 0.9382. So they're all firm here, and ADXY. Just bring that up on the screen because I don't have it on my. Pictures immediately in front of me. ADXY, excuse me. Well, that closed earlier with the Asian markets, but it's up at just below 116 here. It's had a good run really since the latter part of March, and there's a little bit of resistance up here, short term overbought, but my guess is that it'll go higher over the over the medium term, because people are no longer living in fear of those Asian emerging markets, and they will gain confidence considerably if China does improve. But there are question marks. It will happen, but will it happen sooner or later? That's the big question. And in the commodity markets, well, the industrial metals were mostly a little bit higher. The grain and bean complex, soybeans were firm, although off their recovery highs. Corn and wheat gave up a little bit of yesterday's gains, I see. And precious metals. Well, they took a beating here early on. Well, not all of them. Palladium is stronger, 783. That's up over $7, and platinum was a little higher at 1444. But silver was knocked back when the b before the dollar weakened. Silver got down. I think it was I think it got down to about 1965. Don't hold me to that, but it was because it's not on the screen here right now, but it was very close to that. But then recovered some of those losses and is currently trading after hours at $19.90. So that's down 15, nearly 16 cents here today. And gold bullion also got lower. It was down around the 303 at I think when I went out this evening, but closed with a modest gain here today at 1312.6, $1,312.60. And that was very much, I think, in response to the weakness of the U.S. dollar following the Fed's actual comments. And that's pretty much it on another interesting day of the markets. All the very best to all of you.